The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're expecting Governor McMaster today to announce additional loosening of restrictions on businesses in South Carolina. The president expected to continue outlining plans. And we are breaking this morning the Problem Solvers Caucus in the U.S. House. It's made up of 50 House members. They've been working to come up with a plan to reopen the economy as well. 3rd District Congressman Jeff Duncan on Friday posted a great great comments on Facebook on his plans and what he thinks. The congressman said, the virus is real, it is novel, it is a threat, and it is highly contagious. But at the same time, we can't wage war against our economy while we fight off the coronavirus on another front. We must handle both. And I agree with the congressman 100%. On the 94.5 The Guest Line this morning, Congressman Jeff Duncan. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you, Joey. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Always good to spend some time with you. And I agree with what you wrote on Facebook last week. We've got to come up with a way to reopen our economy, right?
Oh, yes, and there's no doubt about that. We can't wage war on our economy. We're seeing the decimating effects it's having on small businesses primarily and on individuals who look for employment to provide for their families and meet their obligations. And so, you know, this thing was novel. It rapidly spread across the globe and was very fatal to certain segments of the population, especially those elderly with underlying health conditions. But as we saw in the United States Navy on the USS Roosevelt, young, healthy servicemen and women, I think, succumbed to the coronavirus on board a ship. I think there were 5,000 people on an aircraft carrier, about 600 COVID-19 active cases. There were two deaths. So it can affect the young and healthy as much as the elderly. But main thing is, there was this huge fear, Joey, that the coronavirus, COVID-19 cases, would overwhelm our healthcare system, that there would be so many cases that needed to be intubated and on ventilators that the hospitals would be overwhelmed, and then the healthcare personnel themselves would contract the COVID-19 virus and succumb to it from a health standpoint, and we wouldn't have anybody to treat the general population. And I think that's why you saw the rapid deployment of hospital tents and hospital ships to meet a perceived need as we were learning about COVID-19. And now we see that whatever measures we took, could have been social distancing, could have been hygiene, whatever, slowed or stemmed the spread of the virus. And now we see the curve flattening a little bit. And so I think we've got a handle on it. It's time to open up Main Street and take some measured steps to get our economy back going.
Congressman Duncan with me this morning on the guest line. Do you believe that to a degree we may have overreacted a bit? That this there's a Wall Street Journal opinion piece over the weekend, Andrew Bogan, and he cites some studies that were released on Friday to where basically what it's telling us is that a lot more people have this virus than we thought before. Millions more probably, and just as you said, the younger that their immune system can fight it off, maybe we should just be concentrating on protecting the elderly and those with underlying health conditions, and let the younger people get back to work.
Well, I agree with that. I think 45-60 days ago we didn't know that, and I think it's easy to look back with hindsight. And I think we're going to be debating this very issue for the next 100 years on the steps that we're taking. But Rich Lowry wrote recently, he said, the arguments against hunkering down amounts to arguing that we didn't need to take out Hitler because he failed to take Britain or Moscow. Hitler failed because we acted. The virus is not wiping us out because we acted. I think the action again, like I said, whether it was hygiene, whether it was social distancing, whatever, actually stem the virus. And now we need to, you know, not look backwards, but look forward. How are we going to get folks back open on Main Street? How are we going to help retailers and small businesses get back to work, providing the services and the goods that we need as a nation? And how are we going to get people safely out of their homes and back onto the streets to purchase and back into the places of employment? I think that's where we need to focus our attention right now.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Congressman, the president in his daily briefing yesterday kind of hinted that he felt like that he's close, you guys are close to an agreement on some additional funding. You think that's going to happen this week?
I think so. I mean, I'm probably going to have to travel back to Washington because we do not know what that bill is going to look like. If it was a simple one-page bill that said we're going to strike the $650 billion that was originally allocated in the Phase 3 bill, if it simply said we're going to strike that amount and add another $250 billion to it, be a one-page simple bill, we could vote on that by unanimous consent and pass it, get money back out to the banks so they can be put on Main Street to help these employers. This was a government-mandated shutdown. This wasn't like a hurricane came in. It wasn't, even though it was a virus, it was an act of God like a hurricane. But government doesn't shut down businesses in a hurricane or a tornado or other things. And let me just pause right now and say a week ago, folks in Seneca were waking up to a tornado and the devastation they saw there. They're still in our prayers. They're still recovering. But because government, state governments and federal government mandated this slowdown or shutdown of the economy, I think it's appropriate for government to step up and provide some resources to help get Main Street open. But at the end, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to pay for this as a nation, because we've taken on a lot of additional debt. And I know you and I are very concerned about the national debt, which is now probably $26 trillion. And we've got to figure out as a nation how we're going to deal with that. And that comes to some hard decisions Congress is going to have to make about mandatory spending programs and what we spend money on in general, like WHO and other huge outlays that we have. You know, what are we getting for our money? So those are the debates I hope we have going forward.
Yeah. You know, a few weeks ago, Congressman, I would have thought that once we could start reopening, and the president has said this, that, you know, it's going to build quickly. We're going to rebound quickly. I'm starting to have a little doubt on just how quick that's going to be, simply from the standpoint is I've just noticed even friends and family that they're a little more hesitant now. They're fearful because of the unknown of getting back out. Do you think it's going to be are we going to rebound as quickly as the president and others thinks, or is this a slow, long, drawn-out thing?
Well, I think the whole idea of the money that Congress put out there was for a rapid restart of the economy, to make sure that people remained on the payroll so that they didn't have to go find a job somewhere else, that their business that they work for could open back up and they could go right back to work without having to go through the rehiring process. So I hope that part of it will help with a rapid restart. I think what the president's talking about is maybe a little longer view than what you're thinking, but bringing manufacturing back to this country and shortening the supply chains, which is important. We're seeing the results of pushing manufacturing offshore, whether it's pharmaceuticals or chemicals or whatnot. We're seeing the results of that now. I think you're going to see a big push to bring that back. But there again, there are regulations that have pushed a lot of those businesses offshore. We're going to have to go back and evaluate and revamp. That's FDA guidelines that push pharmaceuticals and testing offshore where that things could be done more rapidly. So I think that's really what the president's talking about, is we are going to come back stronger and faster than anyone anticipated. But there again, you've got places like General Motors that are going to have to retool and get back from making ventilators that they've been making for the last, you know, 14 days to making cars again. And then folks are going to have to be willing to buy those cars, and they're going to need jobs in order to pay for those cars. So it's going to take a little while, but I think we are going to come back stronger.
Yeah. Do you think we learn from this from the standpoint of our supply chain, and do you think we will see the return of some of those pharmaceuticals, medical supplies, and things that have been pushed offshore return to the U.S.?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the you know, benefits of all of this, is we're going to see a lot of that manufacturing come back. And I point to simply to BMW in the upstate. So when a volcano erupted, and I believe it was Iceland, and it put a huge plume of dust and particles in the atmosphere, planes couldn't fly from Europe to the United States or bringing transmissions that were necessary for the manufacturing of BMWs. So BMW said, look, we're going to shorten that supply chain. So ZF Manufacturing, actually located in Lawrence, South Carolina, manufacturing transmissions for BMWs and other vehicles, huge employer in the upstate, but it shortened that supply chain for that distance from Lawrence to Spartanburg to BMW versus having planes fly from Europe over the Atlantic, the United States, because they need transmissions in a just-in-time inventory process. They couldn't do that with the virus, the plume that was over Europe. And so you're going to see a lot of that phenomenon happen, shortening supply chains, manufacturing, coming to bring the critical supplies necessary, manufacturing them here in the United States so that they don't have to worry about another virus, another shutdown, another closed border, another volcano-type situation that we saw with BMW and ZF. And that's just a good analogy that I can point to.
Sure, sure. With me this morning, Congressman Jeff Duncan, always good to spend a few minutes with you. One final question for you. Of course, you know, with all this talk about the coronavirus, Americans staying at home, quarantined, we are in the middle of an election year. We have some very important elections coming up in November. Of course, we're set. Republicans are set to meet in August, just up the road in Charlotte. Anything that you've heard? Do you think that we're going to be able to have our convention in August? Anything you've heard that maybe pointing towards a virtual convention or postponing that?
Well, the first thing I'll say is we need to be very, very pleased that we had a good business leader like Donald Trump in the presidency to guide us through these times with his business acumen and creating business-like structures in Washington. I don't believe a political figure could have navigated all of this, and so I'm thankful for that. As far as conventions goes, the 3rd District Convention is this weekend. It's going to be a virtual convention. We'll see how that goes. I don't know what's going to happen in Charlotte, you know, whether we're going to have a full-blown convention or some sort of modified convention where maybe only the delegates go to vote for the nominee. Who knows? I think we're still trying to figure it out. I mean, most of my constituents are worried about college football season and what's going to happen in big arenas like Death Valley. So I think a lot of questions are going to have to be answered between now and really in short order between now and June, and determine about conventions, determine about, you know, sporting events and that sort of thing, Joey. So a lot of variables out there, a lot of decisions have to be made, and I don't think we can answer those questions today, but maybe by the end of the week or the end of the month.
And the Faith and Freedom Barbecue, that's something we always look forward to.
We're going to have to think about that. That'll be in August, and you know, this is an election year for me, and that's an important fundraiser, but it's also an important gathering for folks to turn back to God and focus on what's important in life. You know, sure. If there's any silver lining in this virus, it's that we're at home and we're thinking about what's precious and what's more important in life, and folks are reevaluating some of their personal choices and what they spend money on and how they spend time with family and those sort of things. And so that is a silver lining in this virus.
Yeah, and I think we've spent more time in prayer as well, which is a much-needed thing.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Congressman, always good to speak with you. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Joey. Take care. God bless.
Sure thing. Have a great Monday.